Happy Sunday, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to another episode of Jedi Alliance number 114. Today we're going to be talking about the ongoing news about Carrie Fisher and her involvement in the future of the Star Wars universe. If Disney is ready to take all of our money when it comes to Star Wars, and our main topic of the night, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite fights throughout the entirety of the Star Wars universe, so you don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance, where we celebrate the greatest saga in film and beyond. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Joined, as always, by the full squad. We got your entire crew here on the USS Jedi Alliance. That's a different
what
show. Why not?
About?
There are four lights. Anyway, let's start to my left, Mr. Michael right. Young.
What's up, y'all? You can check me out online at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
And on the couch, we have our master of the chat, chat mistress, however you...
I like it.
Either,
I like
or.
Either one. Both.
Jazz hands.
I think it was... What did I say? Human chat role relations.
Yeah.
Our droid ATA-890,
yes.
Alexis Torres.
Hello, everyone. Salutations. You can find me all over social media at ATORRES890. That's ATORRES890.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
It's cool.
Solid weekend?
Yeah. I did nothing.
So it was a good one.
Yeah.
Solid one.
I was busy, but, you know, not bad. Got a little bit of resting.
Good busy?
Yeah, good busy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I did nothing either. It was pretty great.
It's just good.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys check out Rebels?
I watched last week's and then ran out of time to watch this week's.
I'm also on the same boat as Mark, because that's what happens when you work two jobs.
Yeah. I'm about to be there myself. But,
a lot...
It may not seem like it, but despite being on the tail end of a major release, which is Star Wars Rebels, which... Mm-hmm. I'd say is starting its decline in the box office. It's getting shown at less and less theaters.
Rogue One.
Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry. It got beat out by Hidden Figures. Pretty cool.
Dope movie.
Awesome. Credit where credit's due. Nothing else could do it.
And it has to do with space. So
even better.
Tangentially.
Real space.
Yes.
You can hear more about that on our box office show, Box Office Breakdown, now Sundays at 10. Let's start off with a little bit of something that we talked about last week, where we talked about Carrie the entire time, rightfully so.
Yes.
We were talking about whether or not the Lucasfilm was going to use a digitized version of Carrie Fisher in Episode 9, mm-hmm. because reportedly she was all over that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And speculation ran so rampant that... The folks at Star Wars had to come out and say, we have no plans to use a digitized version of Carrie Fisher in Episode 9. Everybody's still dealing with the very tragic loss. What do y'all think about this? Are you okay with this? What do you think about now the different version of Episode 9 that we're going to be getting?
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. It's fitting, you know. It's a tough thing, tough break for everybody who has spent so much time with her, before even to the fans, just the Lucasfilm family themselves, and then us who have spent so many hours watching her, you know, and her heroics on screen. I think it's fitting to be like, you know, we're not gonna go and try to recreate what she's done. Just let her genius stay where it was,
mm-hmm.
and just let it be. Now, I will say, after Episode 9 and when we get to Episode 10 or whatever, I wouldn't mind having Pablo Hidalgo sit down or do it on Twitter, because he's all over Twitter, like, he's always answering stuff. But I would like to know what their ideas were.
Sure.
After the film comes out, so they don't have to spoil anything, you know, but maybe in, like, you know, behind the scenes or something, or some special part of the DVD, to know, like, what their idea was as far as, you know, Leia's character.
Because we did get something like that, Ahsoka's Lost Tales. We got that at Celebration. I figured that's a no-brainer. It can be a nice way for everybody to sort of... that's four celebrations from now.
Yeah.
But, I agree. It would be nice to hear what was planned, but I wonder... Disney usually shies away from the untold story. Like, we still haven't seen what Edgar Wright's Ant-Man was going to be. Just as an example.
We haven't even heard anything about that.
So just as an example, I know people don't like when we go into other territories, but using Disney is a huge brand. Star Wars is a part of it. Yeah. So just using that as a part of an example, like all of the stuff from Frozen. Like, there were so many different story ideas for Frozen over the years. Walt Disney even tried to work on a version of the Snow Queen. That's how long they've been trying to do that story. Mm-hmm. So there are stories there. Whether they do it or not is an entirely different thing. Alexis, what do you think?
No, I'm also in the same boat where I would like to see it maybe sometime later, you know, in a DVD feature or a, you know, celebration or something like that. At first, I knew some people, because we talked about it at my job, my day job, where they were like, oh, I feel kind of bad. I would have liked to see it. I'm like, well, I don't need it. I think we talked about it last week. We were like, I don't need it. If they did it, whatever. But I also think that laying Princess Leia or General Leia or whatever you want to, you know, call it, to rest in that aspect is fine. Mm-hmm. I think I would have just been happy whether she was there or not. Yeah. So, yeah.
And we have a lot of her to go back to.
Yeah.
This character and this actress have both led a very full and adventurous life.
Yes.
And Star Wars is a property as such to where we'll always have her.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, with, you know, your kids and then your grandkids and then your babies. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? Like, obviously, she's going to be in your life, whether it's from the older movies or now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of our folks in our live chat saying?
Yes. Blasted Heath said, as long as Leia and Luke meet up in episode... Is that 8?
That's 8.
Yeah. I'm good. Sorry. Roman numerals is like... a lot of people agree with him that, like, as long as Luke and Leia at least meet up at least once before, you know, something happens, that's fine. And a lot of people are talking about just, like, what they want for episode 8 besides Leia.
Sure.
So Gregory Castillo also said, let Princess Leia to rest.
Cool. It's going to be an interesting process. As we mentioned last week, whatever they give us, we'll probably be fine with, because we got Pablo Hidalgo, who is the lore keeper, who will make sure that everything goes as planned. Moving on to the next thing that we wanted to talk about, Disney just wants all of your money. All of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're going to take all your money.
All your money.
So they recently, and you're going to smile. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. So right now at Disney World, they have it's a version of Season of the Force, which is the thing where it's their entire Hollywood Studios area is made up to be super Star Wars-y. They have a nighttime fireworks spectacular, which is super cool. And Disneyland Paris just debuted their version of the Star Wars fireworks spectacular.
Awesome.
But we have heard. And I mean, this isn't an exclusive or anything. It has been announced that they are going to be hosting an event called Star Wars Galactic Nights starting the third weekend of April, which is, well, I guess that's the second weekend of April. No, third weekend of April. That is
expensive.
A Star Wars themed night party. The park does these from time to time. They did one with Princesses and Pirates. Where they stay open, it's like a private party where you pay an additional fee, whether you have paid for a park ticket or not, to enjoy special themed experiences.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars one, they're very mean by putting it on Celebration Weekend because there are people traveling from all over the world that want to go just to say that they have done it. Now, the park is going to close at 7 p.m., and the party is going to start promptly after that. So 7 to midnight is going to be the regular times over the weekends for this party. Tickets...
Oh, this is what I was going to ask. I'm like, this sounds expensive.
Tickets will start... This is a kids' price ticket.
No.
At $124 for a kid. Exactly. For a child.
I'm having a heart attack.
It's bad. Alexis. Here, wait. I'll do the opposite of Darth Vader and, like, stop the choking.
Sure.
I guess. $124 for kids. Now.
That's insane.
Now, usually, there's a huge jump between kids and adult prices.
Yeah.
But that's where you're wrong. It's $129 for adults. But usually that means if
I was expecting it to be so much.
You
But that's the bizarre thing to me.
Yeah, I thought for a fact that it was going to be like $224 for adults. So I would have been like, I'm done.
Kid prices should be less to encourage families to
go. They also shouldn't be in the three digits.
No, not for three digits.
That's expensive.
Now, I love me some Disney. You know me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the Disney guy, and we're going to talk about Disney parks any chance we get. However, and I'm going to Celebration this year.
Oh, you lucky duck. That's awesome.
My wife and I are going as a part of our honeymoon.
Yay!
It's going to be great. And then...
Oh, God.
And then we're spending time in the parks after that. So, right now, it's a case of, when are we going to go back to Orlando? Should we do this? And I don't know if we should... Here are the announced list of activities, and at any time, interrupt me, folks here, or folks in the chat. I don't know how you can come out of the computer screen and interrupt me. All right. So generally, we have Rebel Base activities. The Rebel Base will serve as the event hub with multiple events, hosted shows, Star Wars dance parties, and more taking place in the center of the park.
Okay, all right.
Pretty vague, but at least they have a center.
That's something.
Very vague.
They have a hub.
Continue.
The vagaries continue. Inside the Saga, celebrity chat show. Catch a celebrity talk show in the Epic Theater to learn more about the making of Star Wars films.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, that sounds like a good idea.
It does.
It's just George Lucas sitting on a couch.
Yo, on the real, though, I mean, depending on...
Dude, if it was George...
If it was George... But see, once again, the vague continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Celebrity. Now, what do we mean by celebrity?
It's like a Jar Jar impersonator.
Dude, if it was the voice of Jar Jar, though, I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
Is this someone who's been in the film, someone who's in the development, or like someone who's like, you know,
Bush number four?
Popular, like an Instagram model that likes Star Wars?
I mean,
Chewbacca mom.
Yeah.
Is Chewbacca mom going to be talking about how Star Wars is being
made? As long as she's there giving me masks for free?
If I get a Chewbacca mask for $130, still upset. Yeah. Anyway.
Very upset.
Yeah, like, I still want one.
Continue.
Well, I mean, if they're looking for folks...
Slim413 says, I interrupt.
Damn it!
What up, Slim?
It's happened.
Jar Jar stand-up comedy.
Slim.
What up, Slim?
Sorry.
I don't need of that icky, icky goo.
If they're looking for some
quasi-celebrity folks that host a chat show... In North Hollywood, California. The opinion of this event gonna change real quick.
We'll just reshoot this and be like, that's amazing.
Yo, Disney, check it. Disregard what we just said.
Just fast forward.
What we're gonna continue to say.
Holla at us. We are celebrities. To a degree.
Mark, no.
We are not.
We know Star Wars.
We got Star Wars photo ops. Or if you need hosts. If you need hosts to talk to your celebrity guests.
Or press to cover the event.
Mm-hmm. We got Star Wars photo ops where you can, and this alludes that you might be able to show up in costume, which is huge for Disney.
Yeah, that's
because they usually don't allow you to do that. Yeah. It says, don your Star Wars finest and enjoy iconic Star Wars backdrops, including Han Solo cast in carbonite, Jabba the Hutt's palace, the Hoth Wampa cave, and more. So... That's one thing. If you're a big Star Wars fan, if you're coming down for Celebration, you probably have a costume.
Yeah.
You may not be able to march with Darth Vader or Captain Phasma in the First Order, like will be happening nightly. Like, no joke. Imperial March with Darth Vader leading a bunch of Stormtroopers or Captain Phasma leading the First Order throughout the park, pausing to give demonstrations of power and strength. Mm. Well, are they going to play American Gladiators? Like, what? What power and strength?
Oh, man, that sounds awesome. I'd do that.
Like, because the thing is, all of this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, no.
$130 awesome?
For $130, you might as well say, for $130, for a six-year-old to show up.
Yeah, for real.
Like, who won't be able to stay awake for the entire thing, because it's late.
Once you buy a $60 funnel cake for this six-year-old.
Yo, that's good funnel cake.
Like, hey, no, for real. Yo, like, no, can we talk about that? Like, that's so good.
It's like... Yo, you know it's going to be like, can I get one hot dog with like no toppings? Sure, no problem. That'll be $15.99. What?
Or like a bottle of water for like $8?
I think hot dogs are like $7. It's still a lot and they're small.
He knows.
But
he knows.
No, I do.
Yeah.
Because I got one last time I went because it was late and I was hungry. this one is one of the weirdest ones to me.
Okay.
Galactic Knights stars in a car motorcade.
I'm sorry, what?
It is a procession of cars to welcome Star Wars celebrities down Hollywood Boulevard.
So is it like a parade?
It's just a motorcade. So it's just like folks, it's like the Hollywood Lane Parade.
Oh, okay.
Where you're just, it's just people in cars. So if they're presenting this as an alt programming to Celebration, the folks that, like the celebrities like Warwick okay. Davis, etc., James Arnold Taylor, who are in town for Celebration as okay. an additional way for fans that may not have tickets to Celebration, but they can come and still be a part of the show, $130 is a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for Johnny Iowa and his family...
Yeah.
Stay tuned. There's a Netflix series about Johnny Iowa.
Yeah. It's deep.
It's pretty deep. Who's just coming to Florida with his family to come to the theme park. And all of a sudden you're told, oh, you can't go into this theme park after 7 o'clock. You have to pay an extra $130.
Yeah, that's
bad.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And your kids have to pay about the same. And not you, your kids.
That's
your
insane. Kids.
I'll wrap these last couple of ones up so we can get to our main topic. They have a Seize the Saga interactive scavenger hunt where event guests are challenged to collect Star Wars themed pieces at the photo backdrops throughout the park, revealing a surprise when all items have been collected.
Usually
with the scavenger hunts that Disney does, the items are they're like pins or small toys or this or that, but you get to keep them.
Okay.
Trinkets.
Yeah, trinkets. That's a good way of putting it. And they do have a scavenger hunt at Walt Disney World themed around Perry the Platypus, Phineas and Ferb.
Oh,
so they have it's already there. You can find out where he is once and for all. And then we have this is also confusing. Star Wars: A Galaxy Far, Far Away. Watch high energy clips of the best moments from the film saga juxtaposed with character moments on stage featuring Chewbacca, Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, and more. Watch Han Solo get stabbed. Anyway, like, I don't understand it. I don't get that one.
All right, can I go in and say one thing?
Say as many things as you want, Michael. The floor is yours.
Oh, boy.
Me.
Okay. Oh, he's going to sing it.
Okay, here we go.
Money.
Oh, here it is. Money!
Yo, Disney is making so much money off this. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, Disney's like, oh, you coming down for Celebration? Well, check it. We got something else for you. Oh, you want to come? Sounds interesting, right? $130. And we know you're going to come. Because you flew in from London. You're never coming to Orlando again.
Exactly.
So we know you're going to do it. That's why they're letting people know now. Mm-hmm. They're like, get your money up before you come to London.
Dude.
I mean, before you come to Orlando. Because you want to spend $130 for 5 hours of entertainment. You can't even get everything in that 5 hours anyway.
Yep.
But you're going to pay for the $130.
Oh my
Disney
God.
Wrong, but Disney smart.
Yeah.
All right, Disney. So I mean, it's no different than the Disney store. You go and get like a stuffed animal for like $80. It's like,
I mean,
why?
I've been there.
One thing that I will, and then the last thing on the list is there is a showing of their nighttime spectacular that they've been running for a little while. Something that I will make note of as of right now, this is only for Celebration weekend.
Wow.
As of right now. So it's not an ongoing thing.
That's how they get
so
you
it's
right
super
there.
This is only happening
one.
Once.
Yeah, so you have
going
to spend
and pay
it.
That. And it's not like Disney ain't losing no money. They could have easily been like, if you don't have tickets to the park already today, you can pay a flat fee of
$100. Yeah, like the
and
actual,
then
like,
if you
amount.
Already have a ticket, you can pay an extra $30. And because it's 5 hours, you're not going to be able to do everything. And they've already got your money for that day anyway. So they could do something like that.
So, wait, even if you had a ticket for that day, so it's like Universal, like when they do like Horror Nights, like you
exactly.
can still do the day stuff, but then if you want to do Horror Nights, you have to pay an extra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah. So imagine you get a ticket for Disney, which is already like 100 and some change, right?
If it's one day, one park, it's over $100 already.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, let's say it's 101.
Yeah.
$101.
Okay.
And you want to go to,
learn
you
something.
You want to go to Galactic Nights, another $130.
That's too much. Like, I totally understand where you're coming from. It should have been just an extra, like, $29.99.
Would you like a soda pop?
Yeah.
That'll be $25.99.
Okay.
I can't.
I know the precedent you're trying to set. It's not that bad. It's expensive. Like, don't get me wrong. It ain't no dollar sweet tea at McDonald's. But it's not that bad.
The price is on the can.
Yeah.
Oh, even worse.
Oh, you can, God, that hurts. That
you can
so
only
much.
You can only get the souvenir cup. Right now, there's no mention of a discount for celebration goers.
Nope.
And they
there
don't,
is none.
Because there won't be one.
There will not be
but
one.
The fact that it starts shortly after the daytime schedule of Celebration goes down, they're trying to get crossover business.
Yeah.
And if they just acknowledge it, come on, that's better for everybody. Everybody has a good time, but it's one of those things where it's like, man, Disney's trying to take every piece of money that I have. I can't believe this. This is absolutely ridiculous. Two tickets, please. And that's what it's going to be.
I can't stand how they're doing this.
I can't stand this. Do you have change for 20? That's what it's going to be. That's what it has been. That's what it will continue to be. And I will let you know about my full report from Galactic Nights when I get back from it in April.
It's funny because when Disney first got Lucasfilm, I was wondering, I was like, is Disney going to double dip? Kind of like Fox used to do with, like, how many releases did Fox do of, like, Star Wars? I was like, I wonder if they're going to double dip. They're like, nah, Disney has tons of money. There's no need for them to double dip.
Ha. Well.
Ha.
Wait, what happened to Star Wars Land? Weren't we getting that, too?
We are getting Star Wars Land.
Okay. It's still in development. They got a lot of
bills. Why can't we just wait for that?
It got pushed back from, it looks like it's going to be coming out when the Han Solo movie comes out.
Oh, okay.
I think it got pushed from summer 2018 to fall winter 2019. 2018, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe early 2019.
Sure.
Either way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but this is a little different.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was gonna say, I'm like, so this what's the actual dates?
April 14th.
Okay.
As of right now, that is right smack dab in the middle of Celebration weekend.
Got it.
No announcement of if they. I don't know what. Like, the fact that it's happening in a theme park means that they have a certain allotment of tickets for that day before the fire marshal gets called. So this event can sell out. If it sells out, there is a possibility that they'll do it another night. If they make it a regular thing, I hope that they don't. Don't charge. Because for whenever they do, like, these nighttime extravaganzas at Disneyland, or California Adventure, you don't have to pay extra.
Right.
But if it's like a private event, you just have to go through. Well, that's not entirely true. For Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, you have to pay extra. So yeah, if it's a themed event, you usually pay extra. We're talking about this too much. If you want to hear us complain more about it, let us know, and we'll bring it back as another story.
I can't. Anyone in the chat happy about this?
They're all in the same. Like, I'm gonna scroll back up because there's a lot that came in through this. When we started, it was at, oh my word. Nope. Where is it? Yeah, 124. That's what Aaron thought, because we were like, no, it's actually more than that. For a kid or adult. And then obviously people were talking about, like, how expensive everything else is. Like, a cup of water is $100.
Water is free.
Mark, don't go over the edge for a $129 ticket. Rather buy death sticks instead.
Dude, I'd be if they had a dude with death sticks at this thing, tickets would probably be sold out immediately.
Yeah.
All about them death sticks.
When we talked about us all going as, like, a field trip or covering, as for press, they're like, J.A. does Disney World. Yes. In a heart, because I've only been to one park in Disney World.
Yeah.
And it was whatever the not Frontierland. Oh my God, what am I saying?
Magic Kingdom?
Adventure or something?
Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
Okay.
I was way off.
What were the
again,
animals?
I've only been to one. And then they were talking about the tax.
Because it's plus tax.
It's plus tax.
And I don't know what. I don't know what.
So Star Drew said 136. Somebody. Or 136 and 58 cents. Someone was like, or tax. Wow. Well, maybe it'll be higher than that. Maybe 149.
Yeah, if tax changes by then, it'll be more expensive. Because right now, I think it's 9% in California. Yeah. And we have one of the highest sales tax in the country.
Yep. And then obviously everyone's talking about Disney because we had that long rant with Michael. Disney did spend billions for Lucasfilm, so why not do it here? Disney wrong, but Disney smart. Hashtag. Wow, Disney is making a killing. That's from Blue Bull. And then also, wow. Gregory also commented on your sweet tea. Going, sweet tea is so good.
It is. I think if I'm going to do a Twitter rant further on this, I'm going to use the hashtag, and I invite everybody else to. But Disney though,
yeah,
BUTDISNEYTHO.
But Disney,
but Disney though.
Aaron Blum actually said that is his birthday weekend. Celebration.
Is he going to be going to Celebration?
It does not say.
Let us know if you're not watching live. Let us know in the comments down below if you're going to be going to Celebration. Might do a mini meetup because I'm going to be going.
We should try to figure out a way. I think we should try to figure out a way. We got three of us together. We can form like a Star Wars Voltron.
That's actually my two favorite things.
We can make that work.
Well, we'll start talking to the studio, see if we can get anything started.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more after the show, everybody. Because I've done conventions through the network before. I have an idea of what it's like. Let's get to our main topic.
Yes.
Michael, take it away. This is something that you brought up last week. We're going to be here a little while.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Hello, everyone. I know you love Star Wars. We love Star Wars, too. And one thing that Star Wars has a lot of is disagreements. In those disagreements, sometimes people decide to fight. And today, we're going to be talking about our favorite fight scenes, our favorite battles, our favorite throwdowns in the Star Wars galaxy that is so far, far away. Now, I'm going to set it off with my favorite of all time. I remember seeing the trailer for the episode with my little brother, and we looked at each other like, it's over. And like, the fight scene that I'm talking about is the Emperor versus Darth Maul and Savage Opress. That fight scene was boss. And I remember seeing the trailer, and you have this situation where the Emperor, like, through the Force, recognizes, like, hold up. Is somebody trying to be evil? And it's like,
and then, that's a really good way of putting it.
Then he goes to Mandalore, where, you know, Darth Maul has been amassing this power through the underworld with the Black Sun and a whole bunch of other, like, criminal entities. And he's kind of become sort of like, I guess, the kind of like shadow king of, like, Mandalore at the time. And the Emperor goes there, and without any, you know, any disregard at all, like, dude lets him know, no, you are a little bit evil.
A little evil. Just a smidge.
Hashtag JTE. You a little evil. But I'm big evil.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Sidious don't play. Sidious came in there. First, you know, Darth Maul was like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I was trying to, you know, get my power up to, you know, show you how good I am or how worthy I am. And he was like, no, you're a rival. And he attacks both of them, throws them up against the wall. They have this great three-way battle. You got Savage Opress, who was extremely powerful at the time, at least physically, but not really in the Force.
Yeah, he's just a big dude.
Yeah, he was a brute that was, like, just powerful. Mm-hmm. But the Emperor was not in any way fazed by him. And he was handling both of them behind the back, both blades, you know, force pushing them, pulling them, everything. And even to the point where he laughed at them while he was falling backwards. Like, the Emperor not only loves battle, but he loves toying with these two. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, oh, y'all think y'all sweet. This is nice. You got your little planet.
Nah. I like this breeze.
You
got this little planet. That's nice. I got a galaxy that I'm about to take over. Just a little bit. And there's going to be some dumb dude that puts up a vote that makes me the Galactic Emperor. Yeah, this dumb guy that's from a water planet. Well, not a water planet, but this dumb guy is going to put up a vote, and I've got that on lock.
So hashtag Dello Felicates.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
It's my boy Jar Jar.
No, I mean, you're right.
Stab Savage, and then without any, like, breaking his step, says, I've got a new apprentice. You old new. And he was like, but I still have use for you. Even after saying that, electrocutes the crap out of Darth Maul. And if you don't remember, you can go back to the scene where he's like, unlimited power. Or, yeah. So he electrocutes him, and it's just like the ease of how, like, how well he handled them, but still the theatrics of, like, the jumping, you know, all of the quick, cool moves and behind the back and jumping and the force usage, and still the fact that he was like, you guys are beneath me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, even though the scene was so cool, he was like, you guys are beneath me.
He's just having fun with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was like, I'm going to punish you with a whole bunch of electricity.
Yeah.
And that scene is still, man. That was the episode Satine got killed too, but, you know.
No, that was a dark episode.
Yeah, rest in peace,
but
Satine.
But just in general, Darth Sidious, anytime he's had a chance to be fully evil,
yeah,
he's just having the most fun. He's like, finally, I don't have to hide being so evil. Like, as sort of like Flippy-Doo and how much crap, seriously, how much crap people give the fight between him and Yoda in episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's so entertaining because he's just like, I'm just so evil. I'm just evil. I'm the most evil.
Yeah.
Even like the Wolverine claw.
The screwdriver or whatever he did.
Like, it's like, what is that? Ah, whatever. He's having a good time. Yeah. I can get behind that.
You just wanted to add some flair to it, okay?
Yeah. And matter of fact, through that whole time, is the only guy that knew he was fully evil the blue dude? Was that it? Like his number two, like, lackey that just kind
of
rolled around?
I think both of the guys. Yeah. I think both of them did.
All right, yeah, because he kept that circle small.
Might as well.
Yeah.
But no, I'm glad that you brought that up, because my fiance, that's like his top. Like, he loves that battle and he talks about it all the time.
Wait, which one? The Savage Press one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
All time.
So Michael presented this to us last week and we were going to talk about it, but we decided to make it its own thing. Alexis and I both picked two.
I got another one after.
You got another one? Okay, so after Alexis and I do our first, we don't have a graphic for it, unfortunately. But let's do ours. Alexis, what is your first?
Oh, I'm going? Okay.
Yeah, what is your first pick?
I really liked that micro series that was done by the same animators as...
Gendy Tartakovsky.
Gendy, yeah.
Thank you. And if you don't know who he is, Samurai Jack was one of my favorite cartoons growing up.
Sure.
So I love the fact that they came up with a Star Wars version of that to a point. So my favorite all-time battle is between Anakin and Asajj Ventress, because I already knew that, even though her backstory is... I don't even want to get into that. But the fact that she is just this fierce person, and the fact that the beginning of this battle is just Anakin walking through the forest and pretty much the stormtroopers are just disappearing out of nowhere, I was just like... Oh my god, this is what's going on? And just like, and it was scary. Like, it was like the first time where literally, like, I had goosebumps watching her just taking apart everybody, especially when there's the last trooper in front of the ship and Anakin's trying to talk to him. He gets up and then just explosion, and then just the side fucking out of the fire, and I was like, she's my favorite. And the
what
entire
up?
No, like, that's exactly seriously. What it was. And it was just so awesome seeing them just go at it. And I've always been a fan of dual wielding, because that's what I used to do in martial arts, is I always use two swords. That's kind of been my thing. So the fact that she does that, I'm just like, oh, it's lightsabers, oh my god. And then my favorite, I think, out of the entire thing is the, like, right towards the very end is when the rain was coming down. Mm-hmm. So I believe the micro series came out after episode 3, yeah? No, not episode 3.
No, after episode 2.
Episode 2.
Like, that was the definitive thing that was supposed to connect 2 to 3.
Yeah. Yes. And I liked that because the fact that we don't get a lot of lightsaber battles in the rain. So we got one.
We it wasn't a lightsaber battle, but it was Obi-Wan and Jango Fett on Kamino in the rain.
Yeah.
But the aesthetic of
awesome.
the mists that we didn't see until episode 7 again.
Yep. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I absolutely no, I agree.
It's just
cool.
It was really cool.
And it was new. It was different.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about it. It was the fact that literally just seeing the raindrops hit the sabers and seeing this it was so cool to watch, and it brought back those memories of watching Samurai Jack and those long, no talking, just very low score of them just going at it. And at that point, obviously, Anakin's his Jedi coat is all ripped up, and he ain't looking so great.
No.
And it was just so cool to see such a a badass female just going. Like, you couldn't even keep up with her at one point. Like,
Asajj Ventress.
She's my favorite.
Asajj is dope. Like, like I said, Dark Disciple. I love Asajj. Like, Asajj Ventress is, there's something about her. It's something about, something about the evil yet sultry voice.
Oh, come on. It's insane.
It's really funny to think that at least for this show, because they changed it for the 3D Clone Wars show, same voice actress as Foxy Love from Drawn Together. She's one of my favorite voice actresses, and I feel bad for not remembering her name. Cree Sumner. It was Cree Sumner.
Cree Sumner.
Yes. Absolutely love her. I've been talking about it ever since I joined this show. Mm-hmm. We're going to do an episode on this Clone Wars series. Because it's so phenomenal, and the fact that it's Legends doesn't mean that it doesn't have its place
in
history.
It's still just, it's on point. It's very, very well done. I remember, like, the second I saw it, like, at Walmart, and, like, it didn't even take a second to be like, should I buy it? I saw it, I was like, like, I just grabbed it.
Mine.
Like, I saw it and I grabbed it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And that was it.
So that just the animation alone really got to me. And just the fact of just the animation and the blocking. Like, just how it was set up from the fact of just, like, this, like, horror story kind of taking of the troopers and then jumping into, like, the rain sequence. It made me feel like I was watching an animated martial art film.
It's so cool.
So awesome. Cool.
Very good.
This one isn't my absolute favorite. This is very much in relation to my absolute favorite. From episode 7, the fight that starts with Finn versus Kylo Ren, and then Rey joins the battle. Mm-hmm. That whole sequence, we go on an emotional ride that everybody understands. Mm-hmm. And everything comes to a head about the movie, about Rey, about Finn, about Kylo Ren. We see everybody's true colors and what they're supposed to be. It's an aesthetic for, much like with the Asajj Ventress and Anakin fight, it's an aesthetic that we don't see. We see the heat resonating off of the lightsabers with the heat vapor coming off of them in the fight, in the cold weather. The blocking is savage and just full of power and some finesse. Getting to see the Kylo's lightsaber used in a unique way by scarring Finn in the shoulder. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Pure pain. A lot of blood, which didn't think we would see, like when Rey cuts Kylo in the face. Shades of a lot of the different fights that we've seen. There's a little bit of Cloud City. There's a little bit of prequel stuff. There's a little bit of Episode 6. There's a lot of emotion, and despite all of the finesse, and I just love it dearly. The score, all of the implications that come as a result of it. It's an amazing jumping off point for a series, and I absolutely adore it.
How about that shot in the trailer? And I don't even think this shot wasn't in the movie. It wasn't in the movie, but the shot in the trailer where you had from the back Kylo Ren step up and he was like, pow, and he lit up the lights. It was like,
it was bad because it wasn't just
new stuff.
It wasn't just like so press a button and it turns on. It was like, he whipped it on like a chainsaw.
And it was like the way the laser was, it was like so, it was like, it was almost like it wasn't really contained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like this kind of like almost unstable kind of, like Kylo Ren, kind of, because Kylo Ren, like, you know, you don't bring him bad news. Like, at least Darth Vader will just be like, all right, cool, I'll choke you.
Yeah, he like, just kills a dude.
Yeah, like, Kylo Ren will, like, completely destroy a console that engineers worked, like, 2 weeks on. Like, he'll destroy a console, tear up a chair, all kinds of stuff.
I like how Hux is probably like, do you know how expensive that console was? Yeah. We are running very low on cash right now. We're really hoping.
Do you know the man this, hours that we.
We're really hoping the Star Killer works out for us and we get some of our money back on this.
Yep.
The bank is looking out for us.
If the first order operated like Hollywood did with films,
oh god, please.
They'd be like, look, this Star Killer base thing has to work out. Okay,
all of our money into this. You cannot be.
Everyone's getting fired.
We'll do tours. Yeah. We'll have a gift shop.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see a tour. Hello, everyone. everyone. Welcome to Star Killer Base.
Yeah. This is the First Order.
I would totally have an application guards. To be a universal tour guide slash doing this. I would be so good at that.
Oh man.
That'd be good. That's for if Spaceballs 2 ever happens.
Yes.
If they do like a tour thing for it. But yeah, this fight scene, adore it. And I can't
so
wait to
good.
See what happens next.
Yeah,
Michael,
incredible.
What is, and we don't have a graphic for this, but yes. What is your second choice?
My second choice involves Asajj Ventress
and
Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul and Savage Opress.
So good.
Oh, we're going back to, oh, that's right, where they were forced to team up.
Because Obi-Wan gets in a little bit of trouble.
Yup.
And the Jedi Order can't really go get him. Like they want to, because I mean, in all honesty, Mace Windu probably could have went in and handled that in like in a snap.
Yeah, of course.
But they couldn't really handle it up front because we're supposed to be a peacekeeping force, you know. And also, I believe at the time, weren't they in like a neutral place or whatever on the ship or whatever? They were in a place where the Jedi Order couldn't just like go get them, and they got Asajj Ventress. Because they knew Asajj wasn't cool with Count Dooku anymore.
Yeah.
They knew she was kind of like a free agent doing her thing.
Hottest free agent on the market.
Yeah.
Hottest free agent. She was. She was
Heck
like,
yeah.
So they got her. She goes out there. And when she finds out that it's Darth Maul and Savage Opress, she's like, it seems like she's even more excited to do this. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll take this job.
Yeah, I'm in.
No problem. And just to see Obi-Wan like, wow, it's you to save me? Okay.
Yeah.
it's like, you know what? I'm not going to be upset with this. And to see them fighting, losing lightsabers, force pushing lightsabers to each other, ducking, flipping, switching partners. It's
so
and
good.
Also, because it's in such a close space, because they're in like a cargo hold or something in the ship when they fight, and it's just really cool. Then they switch, and Darth Maul and Obi-Wan are up top on this little catwalk or whatever, and you know Savage is downstairs with Asajj. It's just really cool to see this close quarter, you know, really tight fight with these top. Well, let's be honest, three top level
and Savage like, Opress
and Savage Opress because. Because Savage Opress seems good because he's so strong, but in the Force he's not really that great. But man, that was on point, and they got out like by the skin of their teeth, which is another thing that I liked about Clone Wars. There's something that I like about Clone Wars because like, Mark's face, like, no,
where,
don't do it.
Where
don't,
are we going?
Where are we going?
Because I was about to say, finish your thought and then.
But
then.
I just think them getting away by the skin of their teeth and neither side really winning. I mean, I guess, you know, Asajj did, you know, she got Obi-Wan Kenobi and they got out, but neither side really won.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't
I kind of
like,
yeah, it wasn't decisive. And I like that because then that creates what I love in television and in film, what is called a long-term villain, which means you don't kill someone after the first movie. But we're not going to say any names.
Like Darth Maul.
Like Darth Maul.
But they went, whatever, we'll do it anyway. Yeah. Give him robot legs.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? He's really cool, so let's bring him back.
Yeah,
but that was my.
That's
second
a good
one.
Like I was gonna say an honorable mention for me is one that some fans had brought up to me as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same one that you saw, but Ahsoka versus Vader.
Yeah, that was gonna be the next one.
The season two finale. Awesome.
So good.
Just to represent all layers of, I mean, all like not to give away the rest of our list, but we essentially cover the entire world, the entire universe, a visual universe of Star Wars in these fights.
Mm-hmm.
What was your next pick aside from Ahsoka and Darth Vader?
That was so good. Sorry, all the memories just flew back.
Super good one.
Obviously, a lot, at least for me, I know this is my obvious pick was because the fact of just the surprise awesome factor of it was Darth Maul versus Qui-Gon Jinn. Mostly just because when I first watched it, I can't remember how old I was, but seeing him obviously pull out one.
Yeah, and then
and
two.
And then the second one, I was like, ah!
The coolest.
You're so cool.
In all honesty, that thing probably sold a good 5,000.
Oh, you couldn't find one.
You couldn't find one.
For like months.
That shot sold about 5,000 tickets on its own.
Insane. especially because, again, as a we were a martial arts family, so Bo Staff is like my jam. So I was like, but I also like the fact of just like.
Except you screw up with this Bo Staff.
No, that's it. No. This is not the one that you can like move your hands up and down. No, like you stick to the one area. That's it. You have no hands. So, which was actually cool because we actually used it as a teaching tactic. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. So, obviously the surprise factor of that, because I remember my mom watching going, oh, that's not fair. Like, that is
sweet.
That's not fair.
Like, literally, she just went, oh, that's not fair. And I was like, wow, just watch it. So,
wait,
so it was really cool just kind of seeing that. Obviously, it was a lot of suspense for me as well, because when those shields come up, you're just kind of waiting. And yeah. Quite, it's just sitting there. I'm just like.
Meditating.
Yeah.
Like a master should.
And Darth Maul's just pacing, and then Obi-Wan's just hanging out. And I was like, hurry up. Yes. Tell us what happened.
With a great fight like that.
And obviously,
speaking of engineers, who built that hallway? Why?
Yeah, like for real. Like, what is that supposed to do?
Why?
Well, I mean, if it's a
who built that?
Who chose to do this? Who made the plans?
Who is building hallways?
And how is there some sort of distress on a planet where that giant power generator exists? Whatever. That's not what this episode is about. I will say in terms of. Safety regulations, if there's a giant hole there, you don't want somebody to just be walking down a hallway.
Yeah, because what if they're just looking and they're just like,
ah, yeah, just looking at their console, watching a hollow vent.
You know, texting with your friends and you're like,
down a hole.
I guess that, but like also it happens, you just, oh, ow, wall, also like death. It's just a death hallway is what that is. and obviously seeing the death of Qui-Gon was just like, no! moment, yeah. Of course, and it's just and again, as a martial artist, it was just really cool to see the choreography of dealing with two.
Ray Park killed that.
No, it was Ray great. Amazing. He was amazing. It wasn't a lot of flipping back and forth. It was just really good weapon choreography. It was just so good. And as a, I think I was like a preteen when this movie came out, but I was just like, oh my god.
to that end, how did everybody react to Obi-Wan slicing Darth Maul in half? And that shot where he falls down, and then all of a sudden his legs just...
Yep, by legs. That's
it. I was truly surprised. I was like, oh.
No,
Everybody in my theater was just like, oh.
No, like the entire... Like, literally the entire theater
you can
was
do
like,
that in Star Wars?
No, because like, you know, because I mean, to a point, like, in the original Star Wars, they weren't... I mean, we had moments where we were like, oh, wow. But like, I feel like with the prequels, there were a lot of moments of like, oh my god, your limb's gone. Like, yeah. You know? I mean, we had it obviously in the beginning.
We had it in episode 4 where it was like, that's an arm.
Yeah, and we got that. And okay. We're like, whoa. But
and
like,
episode 5 where very easily Vader was just like,
bye. Yeah, so like we had moments like that, but like seeing someone being sliced, why it was hard for me also for episode 7, seeing poor Finn's back. Like, it was it's so cool that we know the mechanics.
That was a master stroke when he just was like,
and that skin.
Nerve ending's
like,
gone.
Like, your spine, just all of it. That's just exposed and it's gross. But like, just, it's great that we have a type of series, if you want to call it, to get to know, like, you know, the percussions of being touched by a lightsaber. So the fact of just being stabbed or taking a limb off or whatever, that's it.
Yeah, like, serious business.
Yeah. Just touching a lightsaber is like, what, like third, fourth degree burns? Like, just it touching
you. Pure energy.
Remember when it just like touched them on the, was it thin on the shoulder? When
it was coming?
No, it went through him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it did? Okay, I didn't know if it went all the way through.
I thought it just like touched him like right here. But oh yeah, so like it's like complete like, super burns.
No, like that's it. It's pure energy. Like that's it. You're done.
Like it's not coming back.
Hashtag you're done.
Yeah. So that entire fight was just so eye opening to me. Of like, yeah, no, okay, yeah, don't mess with those. So that's why I loved it watching the originals, and Luke is just like, oh man, what is that? I'm like, don't touch. Yeah, you know?
The end.
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, it's a weird combination, I think, with any movie that my family and I watch, is seeing the actual fight choreography and then putting it into that fantasy, whatever world that you want to call it, and then putting it all together is a good fight. And I think that one, for at least for me and a lot of the kids, like the younger audience that was in the theater with us, going, oh, whoa, and just that really cool. I don't know. It was
and everything.
Yeah.
And it also, for a lot of people, saved that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I agree.
It's what made it. A lot of people, that movie was like,
It's
like Duel of Fates comes on. I'm like, this sounds really. Ooh.
I mean, that's also where I was like, yeah, someone's going to die. That song came up.
It's like, oh, like, no. Stakes raised immediately.
I was like, no, get out of the room. Get out.
Dude. No, yeah. It's super cool.
I just really
cool.
wish there was like a choir in the background who's just like singing.
complete change of tone. It was a little. Again, not what this episode is about, but I do agree that changed a lot of perception of the movie, and still to this day, it's a lot of folks' highlight of the entire prequel franchise. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the last one we're going to talk about. My all time favorite fight from my all time favorite Star Wars movie, and that is Darth Vader versus Luke in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
it's not true.
That's five, not six. Yeah, this is where Luke is trying to save his dad. There's a lot, just like how I mentioned with Ren and Rey. There are so many emotions. You've got the Emperor watching idly by, the darkness of trying to find Luke amongst the different. Areas of the ship, the setting, the tone that was expressed visually with this fight, as well as the emotion. It's wonderful. It's just great.
And then the reveal, because you get this buildup of anger before because the whole like, oh no, it's a trap. This space station works.
That's a trap. Mm-hmm.
Like, just letting you know, like this, oh, all your friends out there, you see those ships? Oh, we know they're coming.
Going to
We've
die.
Known they were coming for like the last week. Mm-hmm. Like, they're dead. And then just waiting for like, oh, your lightsaber's right here.
Yeah, it's like,
Jedi weapon.
Dude, the whole thing. The whole situation, the whole scene. And I mean, the original one, not the updated one where they gave Vader lines for when he's looking between the Emperor and
it's
Luke.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but I didn't need it.
It's pretty bad.
I didn't need it.
Like, I just
got my
just
whole
mute
life.
It. Just mute it. And then, okay, cool. We're fine. Absolutely love it. So that is six completely different types of lightsaber fights.
There's a lot in the chat.
But before we go, let's mention a couple of them.
No, yeah, I mean, a lot. I didn't mention this because this one was definitely on the one that I was kind of doing, which was obviously all the Yoda fight in the prequels as well.
Which one?
Oh gosh, I forgot. There's two of them.
Versus Dooku or versus the Emperor.
I think both, actually. I think most people were back and forth. I think for me it's the Emperor, but for a lot of people they said both. So we had Blasted Heath who said the Emperor versus Yoda. I think somebody else said Dooku with the...
Somebody mentioned the fight on Kamino between Jango Fett and
Yes, they did, and we did and mention Obi-Wan. That because of the fact of the rain, at least for me, because I'm like, ooh, rain.
Which was a highlight. That storyline was the highlight of that movie.
Yeah.
The whole, like, Obi-Wan being a detective, trying to figure out where this dart came from and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was the highlight of that film.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean,
that was the highlight of that film.
Anyway, regardless.
So, yeah. Slim said he had several in there. So Ezra versus the Grand Inquisitor. Really?
Season one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rebels. We had... Sorry, somebody called Kylo Ren a brat, and I'd love that.
Well, he is.
No, correct. Continue. I'm okay. Still looking.
Well,
so
if you're not watching live, or if you are, wait until our broadcast goes off the air and leave us comments down below. We are out of time for this week's episode. Just a quick reminder, we are running a contest. If you want more information, head on our Instagram. Alexis, if you... We unfortunately don't have time to read iTunes reviews right now.
We have three so far.
But we do have some new reviews. The contest is we are giving away a art print for folks who leave iTunes reviews for our channel. If you want more information, find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook. But until next week, Alexis, where can the folks find you?
You can find me all over social media at atorres890. I'm doing a bunch of stuff on YouTube and obviously all of our sister networks here at AfterBuzz TV, Popcorn Talk, BHL, all that great stuff. So find me and you'll see what we're up to.
Thank you, Alexis. You're Michael. Welcome.
What's up, y'all? You can find me on YouTube normally just by searching Nerd Soul, or you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, at That Nerd Soul, or at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
Oy. And you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Follow all of us here at Jedi Alliance Pod and The Popcorn Talk on Twitter. Make sure to send us some of your favorite fights. Next week, Are we still going forward with our book review?
Yeah.
All right. So
can we talk Catalyst
next week? Okay. So next week, for those of you who still have not had a chance to do it, we're going to talk about Catalyst. All next week, we're going to do a full review, talk about the plot, see how it adds to Rogue One. Until next time, thank you so much for watching this episode of Jedi Alliance, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.